afternoon. We will begin this. Okay. Good afternoon. We'll begin this informal hearing on XL Energy case. This is regarding their 2023 transmission cost rider rate adjustment. The case number is PU-22-402. It is January 10th, 2023 at 2:32 p.m. And I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Public Service Commission. With me is our commissioners, Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. And at this point, I'll go around the room and have everyone else identify themselves in the microphone so we have a record of attendance.
Adam Renfin, staff.
Alex Nesbitt, I'm a regulatory policy specialist with XL Energy.
Chris Bubaltz, transmission project manager with XL Energy.
Okay. Do we want everybody?
Well, there's only one more. So.
Chris Hansen, utility analyst.
And I believe on the go-to meeting with us today, we have at least one person with XL Energy, Drew Sabineller, who will be who's the manager with the Regional Transmission Planning and Analytics Department of XL Energy. He'll be going over a couple of the slides as well. Is he showing up on there?
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay.
And there might be a few other individuals with XL that might jump on with some questions at time as well.
Okay. Well, just to emphasize, if you are going to be doing that, please identify yourself before so our record is clear. I want to emphasize this is an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed facts. If there are disputed facts that come up, we will immediately wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. And in an informal hearing such as this, well, one thing, did commissioners, did either of you have any opening comments at all?
Mine was more of a kind of a staffing issue or just like how you guys split things up, but I work a lot with Drew on the MISO side of things, so I was mostly curious if, as you guys go, if you can explain how your divisions kind of work together, what your responsibilities, how they're different, and then how you collaborate. That would be helpful.
You don't have to do it now. You can do it now, or you can wait and do it in your presentation if you wish.
We'll how about we do it in the presentation when an opportunity presents itself.
Sounds good.
Great.
Commissioner, did you have any opening?
No, I do not.
Okay, so the applicant goes first in an informal hearing, so I'll turn it over to Alex and Chris and whoever you call on as you go.
Perfect. Thank you, commissioners and staff. As I've said, my name is Alex Nesbitt. I'm a regulatory policy specialist. I'm in our Fargo office. And with me to my right, Chris Bubaltz. I'll be starting off by providing some brief remarks. And as far as just sort of a separation of slides, I'll be doing probably the first five slides, and I'll be passing it over to Chris. He'll be doing a couple of slides as far as the programs and projects, looking at some of the expenditures associated with these programs and projects. And then Drew will be coming on with a couple of slides as far as MISO, LRTP, Tranche 1 issues, is just sort of a quick, at least, sort of understanding as far as how the slides are going to be divided up. And for me, I'm going to be kind of providing a sort of a general synopsis of the filing, going through some of the initial slides. And if you have any preliminary questions, you can jump in at any point in time. If it's a softball, I'll attempt to answer it. But if it's something a bit more complex, I'll defer to either Chris or somebody that will be on the line with me. And so with that, on November 3rd, 2022, we submitted an application for approval of transmission cost rider rate designed to recover the 2023 revenue requirements for eligible transmission projects. We submitted a revised application on December 22, 2022, which removed the Sherco Solar Interconnection Project from the 2023 rider revenue requirements. This was removed through discussions with PSC staff and due to XL Sherco Solar Project ADP, which is currently pending before the Commission. XL continues to make investments in new transmission facilities to maintain and improve system reliability, and increase power delivery in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. To properly match revenue with the cost of the North Dakota jurisdictional portion of these investments, we propose the 2023 TCR rate as discussed today and as supported by the applications filed to be effective February 1, 2023 through December 31, 2023, or in the first full month following commission approval if action occurs after January 15, 2023. I want to move on to slide 2. We submit this application pursuant to North Dakota Century Code Section 4905.04.3, which authorizes the commission to approve a tariff for the automatic annual adjustment of charges for a public utility to recover the North Dakota jurisdictional portion of eligible investments and expenses related to new or modified electric transmission facilities. As it states in the slide, this allows for a return of equity at the level approved in our most recent general rate case, which is 9.5%. And it also allows a current return on capital work in progress if recovery of allowance for funds used during construction is not sought in any other proceeding. And the last point, which is another important one, the TCR recovery of a project stops when project costs have been transferred to base rates. Slide 3. In this filing, we propose to continue to recover North Dakota's retail share of revenue requirements for qualifying transmission facilities not currently being recovered in North Dakota electric base rates, as well as our ongoing net expenses from the MISO Schedule 26 and 26A Regional Economic Cost Benefit REC-B charges. In addition, we propose to recover the cost of 3 new transmission projects within the integrated NSP system that are located through our 5-state Upper Midwest service territory. The proposed 2023 TCR rate is calculated to recover $1,859,218 in 2023 revenue requirements, and that comes out to be a rate of 0.0873 cents per kilowatt hour, and if approved, would be applied to all energy billed to each customer class during the 2023 calendar, and as just sort of an understanding, put it into a general residential customer usage. If you have someone using 750 kilowatt hours per month, that's a monthly TCR charge of 65 cents. This would amount to be an increase of 8 cents over the 2022 TCR filing, which was 57 cents. Slide 4. And to provide a little history and context in this matter, case number PU 12813, XL established a TCR tariff as authorized in North Dakota Century Code Section 4905.4.3 sub 2. The tariff was approved by the Commission in its February 2016 2014 order and the associated April 23, 2014 motion. The Commission has approved the company's subsequent TCR rates as summarized in the table, which also shows the proposed 2023 TCR rate for comparison. And just to simplify, and so we didn't have so many numbers, we don't have the 2015 and 2016 test years on here, but as you'll see, 22, 23, those numbers that I just discussed on the prior slide as far as 65 cents for a residential bill. That's what you're seeing if you have 750 kilowatt hour usage for that month period of time. And it's about an 8 cent increase over the prior 2022 TCR rate.
Alex?
Yep.
Would you remind me why the 9-month recovery periods in 2019 and 20?
We were just discussing that, and it's before my time, but I understand that it was because of the rate case that was occurring at the time. I don't know if you have any more context or if anybody on the phone would or on the go-to meeting would want to reply, but I believe that that's what happened, is that they were rolled into the base rates due to the rate case that was pending and was settled at that time. Anyone?
I don't know that for sure.
Sorry, this is
This is Christopher Frank, sorry, with Xcel Energy, part of the revenue requirements team. My guess is that those years for 19 and 20 wouldn't have to do with the rate case itself. It was just likely the approval date was likely later in the winter months. So if you would have approved in, say, February, and new rates would have started March, you know, that the recovery period would have been over 10 months. In this case, it was over the 9 months. So the rates were, my guess, were approved in March, but then didn't go into effect till April.
Okay.
I think it was on us. We took a long time to review it because we got so many all at one time. And it was just like, I think that we just got behind a little bit. Didn't review it until, we didn't approve it until later. And so they had less time to collect.
I think they're probably climate issues.
Maybe.
I recall that was my first year here with Dave, and it was, the snow was melting, so was it a little bit later in the year, and it was a little bit of a delay on your guys' part before we could get implemented. I think we had a couple different, in the slides that year, we had a couple different models for March implementation and even the April implementation because of some of those delays.
Is that the last slide?
Okay, thank you.
Perfect.
I have a quick question, and I haven't peeked ahead to look, but have you looked at what the estimated impact of the LRTP will be on the rates down the road? We'll look at that later.
Yeah, we'll have a discussion about it as far as solid dollars and cents figures. We'll get into that. That's going to be coming up on slides 8 and 9. We've got a nice Excel spreadsheet to go with it if we want to go into that as well. So
sounds great.
Okay. So on to slide 5, we'll see a bunch more numbers on that one as well. And this is looking at the 2023 versus 2022. The first 3-4 lines were detailing North Dakota's retail share of revenue requirements for qualifying transmission facilities that are not currently being recovered in North Dakota electric base rates, and compares those to the 2022 test year. And when we get up to Chris in a few minutes, we can come back to this if you have a few more questions as far as just some of the changes, what that means, why you're seeing that. And that we also, as I mentioned earlier, have 3 new projects, which we'll get onto slide 6 in a second. That's where that $27,000 approximate dollars is coming in. And then also, so that's the total project rev requirements. And then, as I also mentioned, there's the MISO REC B revenues. And so what that happens, Xcel Energy incurs charges from MISO to pay for a portion of transmission investments made by other electric utilities within the MISO footprint. But those are offset by payments received from other utilities for transmission assets owned by Xcel. RECB expenses are netted with RECB credits, which could result in an expense or a credit in a given year's final TCR revenue requirement. As you will note, there's a credit of $1.122 million for the 2023 test year under the MISO RECB revenues. And also, we have a true-up. For purposes of calculating projected revenue requirements for the 2023 TCR rider, Xcel allocates costs to state jurisdictions based on forecasted 2023 demands. In addition, any resulting over or under recovery from customers as a result of the use of forecasted demands will be reflected in the true-up of actual revenue requirements at the time the next TCR rate is determined. And with that, North Dakota electric customers are allocated approximately 5.1% of 2023 total transmission costs, consistent with the company's allocation of similar costs in a general rate case. On to slide 6.
So is that, Alex, 5% of $1.8 million, or is that $1.8 million our 5% allocation?
Yeah, that 1.8, that's our 5%.
Okay.
So now on to slide six. These are the three projects that I've referenced a couple of times. And we also have the note below that the Sherco tie line that had a revenue requirement of approximately $16,000 that was filed in our initial November 3rd filing. That was removed due to the fact that we have a pending ADP right now. So we have these three new projects. They're new or modified transmission facilities that improve the power delivery capability or reliability of the electric transmission system and are not included in the base rates. Thus, they qualify for TCR recovery pursuant to the statute, subject to commission review and approval. We note the once again the 2023 jurisdictional revenue requirement. The total is $26,553. There's a more detailed description of these three projects in pages 5 and 6 of the November 3rd, 2022 filing. And also, sitting to my right, Chris, he can provide more information about those projects or this slide, and then he'll sort of be taking over from now for this and next slide.
Yeah, and I think I'll take the opportunity here, rather than explaining the three projects unless there are specific questions about them, just to maybe give an oversight of how Drew and Transmission Portfolio Delivery, which is the group that I'm part of, interact. So from my seat where I work in Transmission Project Services, Drew and other planners in the transmission system are what we would call project originators. So Drew, being regional planning, does more of the regional MISO kind of oversight and looks at projects, works with MISO on projects or system solutions that maybe need to be solved within that MISO footprint. From that point, other originators within the company, which might include other groups such as a system sustainability group that's really looking at our existing transmission assets, evaluating system health of those assets and what may need to be upgraded, replaced, or monitored, maintained, kind of that side of things. After those projects or those system kind of deficiencies maybe are identified, then I like to say it's thrown over the fence to transmission portfolio delivery. That consists of engineering, project management, construction, right? So at that point, we're looking at okay, how do we solve the system solution? What are maybe options that we can do? What's the best option for us and for our customers for the execution of that project from both a cost, reliability, execution standpoint? And then where does it fit within our ability to deliver it? And really that is... We have a set amount of resources to be able to construct these projects. So how do we fit that into our five year budget plan, right? Mm-hmm.
Is that your group?
That's our group, and that's really my role. Is I facilitate the budgeting of those projects and where does it fit strategically, kind of into that execution plan over our short term, our 1, 2, 3 years, and then our long term 5 year planning model.
Got it. Do you have two groups, the regional, which Drew works with, and then another more.
Yeah, there's a more system? System transmission planning group. Those are. And I believe Drew can correct me, but I believe both Drew's group, the regional planning, and our system planning transmission mm-hmm. planners now roll up into a newly formed organization within Xcel Energy, the integrated system planning organization, which really consolidates all operations and planning into one group.
And are you part of that group?
I am not. I'm still transmission portfolio delivery. I thought so too.
I know it's been an adjustment, that creation of that new group.
Yeah. I'll take the next slide too. There's just a lot of figures and numbers on the next slide, and this is essentially a table, or it is a table that shows some of the programmatic work that we do and qualifies within within transmission. A lot of it is our asset health. So I mentioned our system sustainability group that's looking at the existing assets and the health of our system. And we've categorized, if we really want to go down the rabbit hole of super project management nerdy stuff, the hierarchy of how we manage the portfolio. So major line rebuild is just a way for us to kind of group those types of rebuild projects where we are taking down an existing transmission line that's 60 plus, but a lot of times they're older than that, transmission lines down to just essentially the right of way, and then going back in with likely another 69 kV line that's new wood poles, new conductor, a little higher capacity conductor to kind of meet the system needs and reliability of the area. So we've categorized them into that group. It's one level of projects. And then as we kind of dive down deeper into the specific projects, there are discrete. This line is from Bird Island to Olivia, substation to substation. That will have its own individual discrete identification within the portfolio.
So I have a question regarding that when I was going through your initial application and your detailed line rebuild, refurbishing, and all that. So my questions are, I look at it as line inspections, but how do you determine, when you sit and talk about line rebuild, your line inspection, what is your program to identify that, and how is it determined, and how often do you do it? How do you identify that as a project?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Commissioner. I'm not exactly sure what our inspection rate is on all of our assets, but there is a set, I want to say it's like a 3-year turnaround on transmission lines where they're either foot patrols, aerial patrols, or we do have our drone system that's robust and working inspections that way. Our system sustainability group, again, the group that's in charge of asset health, keeps a record of deficiencies, line deficiencies on the project, along with trying to keep as accurate of a record as long as we can of outage or, just outages on the line caused by a variety of different reasons, right? So all of that gets kind of accumulated into a matrix that helps them prioritize where and what circuits or lines need to be addressed. At that point, once a project kind of raises to the top of that matrix where we know we need to do something with it, there might be a little bit deeper dive inspection at that point, the project is essentially thrown over the fence to transmission portfolio to delivery. So we know we have a system need on that line. Now it's determined what is the scope and what is the extent of the scope that we need to do on that transmission line. If there are enough deficiencies on the circuit that would be more cost beneficial to just tear the line out and rebuild it, then that's what we'll do. If the deficiencies are of a certain cross arm of a certain vintage on a circuit over the course of many miles, and the conductor on the line has the capacity that we need for the system area, it might just be a cross arm or an insulator replacement on the project. So that would qualify as a refurbishment. If it's a onesie twosie where we maybe have a bad insulator on a line, then that kind of falls into our end of life replacement program where we're just going to go in and replace the one capital asset on that project, move on to the next one or three or four, whatever it ends up being in that circuit.
Yeah, you have quite a description. End of life replacement, major line rebuild, major line refurbishment.
Yes.
Transmission line relocation.
Yep.
Quite the system.
Yep. It's and we just try to, again, from a project management standpoint, we just try to classify them into groupings where okay. they're similar, where it is not even similar. It's the same type of work at that level, and then we break it down into the discrete level of what it is exactly at the next level down of project type.
You know, what I heard you say is all transmission line are within a 3-year inspection.
Yes. That's okay. That's my understanding. I believe okay. that's our turn rate on okay. transmission lines. It might be more frequent on bulk electric system, but I would need to get back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Follow up.
One follow up on that is age of line just flat out age a criteria for replacement, or is it all performance?
It is not. It's all performance. Okay. It is. It's all performance. It certainly is a factor, and I think we include it in project descriptions when we submit here because it's been a data request that we've gotten multiple times. So it's just we'll tell you what the age and vintage is of the line that we're rebuilding or refurbishing.
So I've got one question here. What do you mean by cumulative? Is it cumulative based on the time in which the commission approved it? These numbers when we look at it.
Yes, cumulative. I believe cumulative begins from the time that it was first included in the TCR through now the 2023 test year forecast.
Okay. So the big increase here is, I think I saw in one of your appendices slides that it's the addition of 2027. In other words, it's an addition of this largely that the increase of 61% is largely driven by an addition of 1 year's worth of
1 year's. Yes, yeah, it's the okay. addition. Yeah, I had to kind of refer back to that one
right.
too. As
okay,
well.
Okay.
So this is reflecting. A partial year of actuals for 2022 because when this was filed, we had 6 months of actuals plus 2022 forecast, plus the addition of 2023 into the cumulative
okay.
total plan. And then I think the appendix that you were looking at, then we show a five-year forecasted look out. We then add now the 2027 window out to that full
okay.
that view.
Because these programs are made up of projects, right?
Specific projects, yes.
Okay.
If necessary, we could provide the detailed specific projects that make up each of these
okay, so
projects.
The and same projects that are in 2022 aren't in 2023, right?
There may be some carryover expenditure, okay. but okay. they're generally new projects.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yep.
So just to add to that, so if I looked on the application, this list of project name, and if it's not completed in 2022, it's carried over to 2023?
Some of the expenditure would carry over into 2023, yes.
Okay.
Yep. But there's many of transmissions projects are multi-year projects, just from a planning, permitting, and engineering standpoint.
Okay. Thank you.
I think we can, if there are no questions, we can flip to the page 8, which is Drew's show, I think.
Yep, I can take that over. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Drew Siebenall. I'm the manager of regional transmission planning for Xcel Energy. Just wanted to start out on this slide, kind of an overview of what the Tranche 1 projects were. You can see highlighted on here the projects that Xcel Energy has an ownership share in. These are multiple facility projects, each one of these ID numbers. So it's not full ownership in the projects, it's just some percentage of ownership in those projects, and it varies project to project. One of the few things still in flux in this whole process is the ownership share. So you can see that on the right side there, we're estimating our ownership around $1.2 billion. That represents about 11.6% of the capital cost of the project, so that $10.324 billion that's on the bottom on the left there. Looking historically, we usually use about a 10% estimated energy share So for multi-value projects, which the LRTP projects are classified as, they are allocated based on energy use. So they're calculated monthly based on energy use. Looking historically and at the 2011 set of MVPs, where we've been experienced about 10% of the MISO footprint that were allocated those projects as getting cost to NSB. If you use that 10%, that estimates out to about just over $1 billion, $1.03 billion of cost being allocated to Xcel Energy NSB. So just in bold there, high-level takeaway on this, it's about equal. The cost we are collecting from MISO and the cost MISO is allocating us are about the same. So really what this is going to boil down to, what it's going to look like, is a $1.2 billion project out of this entire portfolio. Now, so we're not paying for more of other people's projects than they're paying for of ours. Any questions on this slide?
You don't have a map included here, do you, Drew, of these projects where they're located?
I don't. We can provide one pretty easily if that's...
If you guys, I have them in my other MISO materials, but you guys might want a map.
I would like it as going through this as far as the talking with Adam, we talked about location and stuff like that, so maps are good.
Yeah, and we can supply a map.
Thank you.
Just I can do a just general overview. LFP2, Big Stone South, Alexandria to Cassie's Crossing is going from eastern South Dakota into central Minnesota. Wilmarth, North Rochester, Trimble, ID4 is going from south central Minnesota into Wisconsin. Trimble, Eau Claire, Jump River is going north and south in Wisconsin, in western Wisconsin. Trimble, Rocky Run, Columbia is going from east central Wisconsin, or west central Wisconsin over to east central Wisconsin, and then down to the Madison area. So I know it's not a map, it's not as easy to look at, but just a general overview of where these projects lay.
Thanks, Drew.
There's no questions on this. I think we can move to the next slide. This is just a quick advertisement for a spreadsheet that we also sent. MISO was nice enough to go through the calculation for what's called the MVP usage rate, or MUR. If you don't know anything about MISO, they like their acronyms, and that has an acronym for an acronym. So they went through and calculated out the usage rate for the 40-year period. And calculated out by local balancing area. So if you're not familiar with local balancing area, it's a little bit different than company. NSP has customers in the NSP local balancing area. It also has customers in other balancing areas, local balancing areas. So if you were to look at that spreadsheet, you'd see about a 9.5% allocation of cost to the NSP LBA. Adding in the other portions of NSP demand or customers brings that up to about 10%. So the majority of the cost are allocated through the NSP LVA, but there is a little bit of difference in that spreadsheet if you're looking at that. That spreadsheet goes through it's called Schedule 26A projections, which is the yearly MVP usage rate. It also goes into the project lists and calculations, which shows a year-by-year a year-by-year change of the project cost when you include revenue requirements.
So, Drew, in the figure A-4.3, can you just walk through that table
sure.
there? And describe what each one means, you know, like the per megawatt. Let's see, hour cost and how
yep.
that kind of is calculated and ultimately gets down to the ratepayer.
Sure. So I can handle the first part. I might have to ask for some help in going from the MISO cost down through the rate structure for MSP. But from MISO, MISO calculates to allocate the cost of MVP projects, the MISO MVP usage rate. The usage rate is a dollar per megawatt hour calculation. This is a projection of megawatt hours used a year for the LBAs and a projection of the MISO usage rate, and the MUR. Both are projections because we don't have actual costs yet. We don't have actual energy values yet. Those are calculated monthly as cost can be in energy is being used. So the projection right now, you can see above in A4.2 is the usage rate calculation. The A4.3 takes that usage rate calculation and applies it to the second tab, indicative LBA energy values, to come up with a dollar figure for each LBA by year.
And what are those local, the LBA being the local balancing authority, can you, ALTE, which one is the one that North Dakota has? Or do we use all of those?
North Dakota has a few. This is all of the LBAs in MISO. So Otter Tail, NSP, MDU are all included in this. And portions of the NSP customer base is in several of these LBAs.
There's only four listed in this sheet here.
That's just a snapshot. So.
Yeah, it's just a snapshot.
Okay. So
yeah, I attempted to put the spreadsheet in here. It got really messy, really hard to read.
So the one that you have 76% of, is that an LBA? Hold on a second. I might be getting a different zone. Oh, I'm thinking of a zone, aren't I? How many?
So are all of these are not for XL? This is just the whole snapshot.
Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking
of pricing. Yeah, the majority of the XL energy cost would come through the NSP LBA, which is line 58.
Line 38.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Why does it say AMMC for line 38? AMMO. What the heck does that stand for?
58 is NSP. AMMO is Ameren Missouri. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for highlighting that. That's helpful. Okay. So walk through how those charges flow now. So the 1198 is the price per megawatt hour. Right?
1168 is the price per hour times the amount of energy used in that that year. So you're multiplying the usage rate, which is a dollar per megawatt hour, times the times the megawatt hour projection for that year to get that value.
So is that a total dollar amount for what?
That's a total dollar amount expected to be allocated to the NSP LBA in the year of 2020.
$11? $11.68 million?
Yep.
A little difference.
I'm okay with that.
Outrageous! No!
$11?
Rejected. Okay, $11 million to that for the year?
For the year, yeah, that's 2028 is the first year. That's the first year expected of any of the projects to go in service. So you're just starting to see costs for the projects coming in.
Okay, and so, and then that gets split up between all of the ratepayers in that LBA, right?
Correct, through the whatever the riders or rate mechanisms are.
So who, what smart person on the phone can explain that, how that's calculated and distributed to the different customers?
So this is Chris Franks, again, with the revenue requirements team. I'll try to take a high level, you know, explanation of it. If you could go back to slide, I guess, 8 in the presentation. I'll try to talk through at a high level what it's going to look like. So in the top right, you can see, you know, XL out of this $10.3 billion you know, we're going to effectively, we would own $1.2 billion in capital. And so from a MISO perspective, when we collect revenue, we would collect that revenue, you know, $1.2 billion. And then if I'm thinking through it correctly, what Drew was just showing, you know, I think in 2031, which is a good year because that's when everything is in service, you know, we would collect $115 million in cost, or I'm sorry, in revenue from MISO and all the other utilities. The next part then is, you know, we're also then going to get an expense from all the other utilities for the 90% that they own, so roughly the $9 billion. And then based on what Drew is showing here in the slide, that's going to be about $1.03 billion. And so I don't know if that is broken out, but, you know, it's going to be less than, obviously, the expense will be likely less than, you know, the revenue we get. So we'll have some margin there in all likelihood. And then that margin pickup, that will come through in the TCR rider as a RECB credit. So, for example, if we made, you know, say $5 million in total at the NSPM level, you know, North Dakota would get the 5% of that. So $500,000 would then be credited to the TCR rider. So that's how the MISO would flow through. You know, once these projects start, you know, we start incurring capital spend, you know, in the coming years, and I'm not sure, you know, Chris B. or Drew might have more details on when we expect the spend for those to start. But, you know, we'll put in requests for those to be included in the TCR as, you know, projects themselves. And this would be similar to how we had, you know, the CapEx projects and the rider before we moved that stuff to base. So that's where we would start, you know, recovering our own capital cost there. So I guess there are a couple ways you can look at it. Is, you know, once everything is in service, you know, we'll have our, you know, revenue requirement calculation for the projects in the rider itself, but that's going to be offset by the revenue that we get for the projects from the MISO. And so, you know, those two should net out or be pretty, if you look at the two, would be pretty minimal expense to the customers. The other way to look at it is, you know, just from a MISO perspective, you know, you'd have some credit from that, and then that would just partially offset the revenue requirement calculation for these new projects.
Okay. So I'm going to drive everybody crazy right now, but I have to. What I heard you say is when you start building these projects, they'll go into your system, basically, and your customers will be paying for them. And then when they become fully operational, they go to MISO, and then MISO customers will be paying for them.
Yeah, as well.
Right?
Yeah.
As well. So how is what North Dakota, Minnesota, all of the existing utility customers have already paid recouped then by the MISO customers, and how does this not result? Like, how do you not get paid twice for this?
Well, as I explained, so in the the MISO, the in the RECB, you know, we do get revenue for projects that are in service.
Mm-hmm.
Any revenue that we get is in effect credited back to customers through the TCR as part of the RECB calculation. So if you're looking within that RECB, you know, there's the revenue, but mm-hmm. then there's the expense. The expense is in effect, you know, the cost that we get from other utilities for their, you know, MVP lines.
Or, yep.
You know, their expense. So the double, we're not getting double recovery because all the revenue we're getting in RECB is part of the RECB calculation in the TCR. So all that revenue is in effect going back to customers through that mechanism.
Right. So that's reflective on page 5.
Yeah, correct.
Of the presentation, where those are the revenues.
Right. I get that. It's just that I'm still stuck on the fact that the customers are going to be paying for it ahead of time. before it becomes a MISO asset. So, anyway.
And, I mean,
you might not have time to get my brain clear on this right now, but I do need to think through this more. And this is why working on MISO drives people crazy. And SVP.
I haven't asked very many, so I'm going to ask a quick one. And I'm also going to remind that I think there are commitments at 4 for some people here. So I don't know what to do about that. But would you go to that next page with the big graph that had NSP on page 58? On line 58. Okay, now, I'm going to get to this. There's a point why I wanted on that. But you said the revenue requirement you're asking for is $1.859 million, right? From North Dakota customers.
For which project?
For the 2023 test year.
In this case. Page 3, 2023 revenue requirement. This is North Dakota's share, $1.859 million, right? We're about 5% or something of XL. So am I right to conclude that really your 2023 revenue requirement is like 35 or 40 million system-wide, and this is our 5% share?
I think so. Do you want to confirm that, Chris? Franks, or the approximate dollar amount? Do you know that offhand?
I'm sorry. Can you just repeat that question? I got mixed up over the where we were starting with there.
Okay, you're requesting $1.859 million from North Dakota customers based on a roughly 5% share. So I'm assuming that really system-wide your revenue requirement is 35 or 40 million, correct?
Yeah, that would be, I'd have to double check the numbers. But
okay, but in that ballpark. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to put together and see if I'm comparing apples and oranges. When you get out to 2031 and you're seeking $115 million just for these new projects, does that mean if everything else stayed equal, except for we added this, we can figure that in less than a decade, instead of 35 or 40 million, we're going to be at 140 million. And so our share is going to go up exponentially too.
Yeah, I mean, this amount here, I think the 115 million is the calculated, I can't remember if this is the cost or the revenue. But yeah, Excel as a whole would get, you know, that amount allocated to us from MISO. And then, yeah, North Dakota would get 5% of that.
So,
and on roughly, you know, $1 billion in assets.
So when I look at this going up exponentially in 8 years, it causes me great concern.
But wouldn't there be an offset on the revenues that you're getting that you wouldn't have there? That's where this gets fuzzy, is you have the revenues that you're getting, so it won't be that amount. It almost, and you mentioned that the revenues you get are expect to be getting are typically more than what the costs are. Is that going to be
from
true?
A MISO perspective, that would be true.
Yeah.
And maybe the thing to focus on to finish in a reasonable time is we're not making any decision on tranche one here. This case is really about the $1.859 million for 2023. So.
Yeah. We don't have
maybe
a decision to make on tranche one.
Right. Maybe a lot of
our time. We never will be making a decision
maybe
on tranche
one. A lot of our
one.
Time is getting out.
I do think, though, it's important
it's
for
important
you guys
to
understand
yeah.
and start building our knowledge on tranche one and what's going to be yeah. coming after that.
We
it's
might,
helpful.
Maybe we need to schedule something on that subject.
Yeah, we but might need to. Yeah.
It has been a little.
Well, we don't have much left in.
We're on page 6 of 22.
Well, that's all. These are all
attachments.
Yeah,
the appendices
oh, okay.
we
yeah.
won't
okay,
go
so
through.
So they're not so bad.
Yeah. And
he's like,
then.
Shut up.
right along.
I actually think that might be the end of it. It was great timing. Okay.
Let's talk more about Tranche 1.
Yeah, let's get back to it. Pull up that slide. And there's that big Excel sheet.
I started panicking.
The appendix was the end of the road. If you had any questions about
these two were going to impeach me already the first time, trying to last at least a month.
He says, we've only, I don't know what to do, but we've got 4 o'clock. And I'm going, what time is it? Time flies. 3:15.
Okay, so since we have plenty of time, are there any other questions?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Under your special purpose programs, in your handout, can you talk a little bit more about your communication network program? I've read that and I'm like, huh?
I think this is the 16, right?
16, yes.
Commissioner, the simplest way for me to describe it is utilizing fiber optic shield wire on our existing transmission lines to privatize our communication network. So rather than depending on telco companies for communication between our different assets, so at each of our substations, we rely on telecommunication or some sort of communication device for relaying and switching, et cetera, et cetera. So this is taking out the reliance of those telco and using our existing assets that are between substations and service offices, anywhere that we have assets that we can connect to, and putting that into our complete control.
So would that go into, like, your cybersecurity plan, too? And
absolutely.
Stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes more sense to me, what you just explained. Thank you.
Sometimes our engineers write these descriptions rather than me.
Okay, tell them you're writing for Sherry's or something.
Adam, did you have any other questions?
Not that I can think of right now.
The Bayfield loop is not completed. It says anticipated completion December 2022. I'm just curious if it was completed or not.
2022... It is completed. I believe we finished it last month.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you submitted this before it's completed, so I was just curious.
Yes. Yes.
One more time?
No, I think we're done now.
Okay. Did you have anything else, or any of your team have anything else that you wanted to add?
Nothing from me.
Okay.
Nothing from me. Anyone on the line?
Yeah. Drew, Steve, Malik, I just want to add to the question before about the Schedule 26A. There's another tab in that spreadsheet that was sent that looks at project cost. We can talk about it further in the future. Just wanted to get it on the record that this, both sides of the calculation, revenues and costs, are included in some level of that. So the third tab on the bottom of the spreadsheet. And then scroll down below it. Scroll up. It was just to the side. If you go over further, there's percentages in the first set of columns there, and then there's dollar amounts following that. So having the percentage ownership of the projects we have a percentage ownership in compared to the 26A projections in the first tab is where we would get a projection of balance.
I see.
Okay, thank you for that. Any follow-up on that slide? Okay. Are there any objections to the evidence? And when I say evidence, I'm referring to the slides as well as the recording that will include your oral testimony become a part of the official record for this case?
No objections for me.
Okay. And so then the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing none, this informal hearing is closed. Thank you.